Should we grab that coffee?
One more question. And I don't want you to overreact or get mad.
Jack, why would I get mad?
Are you having an affair?
Why would you ask that?
I was watching you at Salt last night.
Okay, well, whatever you think you saw, you got wrong.
Yeah, because Remy made a very good point. He wanted to know why you didn't shut things down.
What are you talking about?
I want you to look me in the eye and tell me that there is nothing going on between you and Bree.
Bree?
Just answer the question, Levi.
Aiden, I promise you, I am not sleeping with Bree.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. I know what I was thinking. Remy, I just got inside my head, and then my thoughts were going crazy, and I...
It's okay.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Right, I'm back. Oh, God, that was dreadful. Over in Erinsborough.
Oh, I forgot. You went off to near Melbourne, didn't you, recently?
Yeah. Oh, it was treacherous, that journey.
Traitor!
Treacherous.
Traitor!
Oh, he's a traitor.
He's a traitor. I shouldn't have you back. I should have had you murdered.
Should have done a gay club on me.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Trouble to the head.
Yeah.
And what other iconic Halloween deaths could you have done to me?
Several.
For my blasphemy.
Yes.
Driven me off the headland, never to be seen again. Please don't. Yeah. Please, will you have me back?
Of course. Thank you. I'll have you back. Just don't do it again. Don't go making a habit of it.
If it's any consolation, I've come legging it back.
Good.
And I haven't turned around once.
Did you miss me? Is that it?
Yes. It's weird doing something like this without you, you know.
Oh.
It is strange. Yeah.
I did hear you, though. I have listened to the episode, and I did hear you throw me under the bus.
deflection techniques.
I know. Wow.
For those who live under a rock, there is another Aussie soap out there called Neighbours. Don't know if you've heard of it. And there's another soap podcast about Neighbours called The Neighbourhood Rewatch. It's very good. Go check it out with our good friends JK and Adam. But Adam is MIA right now, and under a cloud of suspicion. So I went over and stepped in, didn't I, over on The Neighbourhood Rewatch for this week's episode. So go and have a listen if you fancy hearing me chat about other nonsense that's been on TV this week. It's over on The Neighbourhood Rewatch on Apple and Spotify, isn't it?
Yeah.
And elsewhere, I'm assuming.
Patreon, they've got a Patreon, haven't they?
They have, yeah, but don't go there because the video is there.
They'll sign up for the free Patreon to watch Si squirming, watching Neighbours. Go on, that's worth it.
Yes. But don't go back, don't go too long. Come back, please.
Yeah.
At least stick this out before you go.
I will let you in on something. I'm in a room with a moth at the moment, so if it flies towards me and I scream, that's why I'm screaming. I'm just currently watching it, and if it gets close to me, I'm off. So
Sophie, you know it stayed in the edit.
No. Oh, I'm just watching it.
How are you doing? Other than being attacked by moth.
Death by moth. I'm good. Good, thank you. I've had a rough week. I'm having a rough month, I should say, work-wise. So I am a few wines in already, so sorry. But apart from that, I'm all right. You?
Good. Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Yes.
Good.
I'm also having a tough one, but not as tough as you, so I'm not going to go on about it because you win.
It's not a competition. It's flying. Oh, God, sorry.
Oh no.
Oh no,
oh,
right.
No, what's going on?
It's gone the other way. It's gone the other
don't
way.
Don't you I've have put... a pet that can
He's not in the You've room got... with me. I'm not oh. yeah. And I've put the light on the other side of the room, so I'm hoping it would drift over there. Oh, never mind. It's fine.
What, yeah.
I don't like flyy things that fly in your face. I'm sorry.
Well, when we go to Oz, you know, because we're going to Oz and we've never mentioned it, we must mention it.
Don't mention the insects because I'll cancel my ticket. Don't talk about the spiders because I will cancel my ticket. No. I'm all right with snakes. Spiders I'm not a fan of. Things that fly around, not a fan of.
I'm the other way.
Hmm.
So yeah, we'll have to maybe we'll have to sleep on the vineyard tour idea.
Just keep me away from the trees and bushes. I'll be fine.
I tell you, from my research into Australian culture vis-a-vis Home and Away, it's not the insects we need to worry about. It's the people.
It's the bikie gangs, I think.
It's the bikies, yeah.
Beware them bikies and kangaroos that jump out front of your car. Like,
yeah, yeah. Blimey, yeah. Literally, cliffhanger.
Yeah, there's been no CGI huntsmen. There's only been CGI kangaroos in Homer, so...
So it'd die if that CGI spider attack.
Oh, don't know. Ugh. The idea of it
would be all over it, but it would be funny.
I'd be watching behind a cushion and I'd be making someone else tell me what happened, so no good for podcasting.
Safe to say we're staying in the city. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Where all good characters go to live out their eternal lives. Never to be seen again.
Absolutely. Even if they're close family.
Yeah, just over there, out there in the city. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you want your headlines?
I do.
Oh, sorry. Before we do headlines, I've forgotten. I've got some admin for you.
Oh, right.
It's been a while since we've done a little draw. We should do it really, and we promised our listeners to get in touch with us, didn't we? About the Klaxon. So if Coastal News is mentioned on the telly box whilst you're watching Common Way, we asked you to get in touch with us. And if you did, you were in with the chance of winning one of our infamous now Coastal News mugs. And we've had quite a few entries over the last couple of months. I think it's about time we put... Well, we're going to do two, I think, because we've had so many, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I think it's about time we put them out of their misery and did a draw, don't you?
Yeah, good plan.
We had two entrants, multiple entrants from two people, one on Facebook, and we had one on Twitter, didn't we? So I think we're just going to give the one each.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everyone's a winner here, right?
Yeah.
So we've got Julie Smith on X, formerly known as Twitter. Congratulations. We will drop you a message over the weekend and we'll organise the details. Yeah, it was Julie. It was Julie, wasn't it, when we pulled it out? I'm just checking.
Yes. I've written Julie. Yes. I hope
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for checking, because I'm like, I didn't make the notes here when we did this. And over on Facebook was Claire Champion. Congratulations. You also have bagged yourself a Home and Away Coastal News mug. And that, therefore, resets the Klaxon. We will drop you both a DM over the weekend and we'll get it organised to get those mugs sent out to you. Thank you. Congrats and thank you. Right. Sorry about that. Almost forgot to do it because I was supposed to do it last week.
And then almost forgot the winner.
Sorry, Julie.
Oh, dear.
It's definitely you. Right. Do you want your headlines? Valerie packs up to leave, but then stays. Tane gets his ABO and baby gym bag gets a new home. Leah and Justin butt heads over the wedding and settle on him organising absolutely everything. And Cash brings home a new house guest. And finally, Imogen drops into the bay.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts, and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, so it turns out Theo and Kirby, Theo's told Kirby, should I say, everything about Val's brother. He's broken that confidence right from the off. She's rightly upset, I thought. You know, understandably, you know, she told him that in confidence. She hasn't even told Leah, best friend of 8 months, roomie at the loony bin. And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, yes, Theo. Like, you just... remember, she caught them looking and holding hands through the diner window, and there's this insecurity always in the background about her being turfed out of her home, which I think comes from her parents disowning her, to be honest. Something that we probably overlooked during our Valerie analysis, that her worry about being turfed out all the time and being not chosen over Theo if it all goes south and all that probably comes from her parents saying to her, you are, you know, disowned. Off you go. So it's definitely sort of mental health issues that cause that insecurity through that trauma with her family. But Leah, you know, not even Leah knows about this. She's packing her bags and she wants to go, and she's like, it's all, you know, it's all blown. She doesn't want everybody knowing about it, and judging her, again, drawing on her experience from her family. And Leah's like, Theo initially is pleading her not to go, saying that she belongs here. And I'm like, she's been here a fortnight, kid. How does she belong here?
But he loves her, doesn't he?
Well, he said the L word, didn't he? But he's fallen hard and fast as Theo. And I'm not sure.
It's not love. It's too quick, isn't it? It's lust. It's got to, people get love and lust mixed up, don't they?
Yeah, and throw in a bit of E. I mean, God knows what you're feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Love everything on an E.
Well, that's it. Even neighbours.
Is that what happened? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 7 a.m. where the app dropped. Drop an E and drop the app. Leah says to her, look, no matter what happens, she's trying to reassure her, she's like, no matter what happens, you've always got a home at ours, and you know, go on that lovely walk and talk on the beach. I love, you know me, I love a walk and a talk on the beach. And later on, Val and Theo end up catching up again, because there's a bit of an argument, isn't there, which results in her saying she's off, but they do catch up, and she insists on, basically, if you're going to support me, I need you to take these pills with me. And this sat a little uncomfortable with me, I will be honest. Because then I was a bit like, well, now we're... Because he was off them, wasn't he? And it was, the table had flipped. And he was, even when he was taking, you know, she thought he was taking them last week, and he was putting them in his pocket instead. And, you know, and he was trying to get her to see sense and get off him, weren't he? And now he's ended up... It's emotional blackmail. Like, he's ended up. He's ended up back where he started. And the look on his face, I was thinking, oh, you poor sod. What's going to happen here now?
It's confusing, this, isn't it? Because, like you say, we're flip flopping. So, 1 week, Valerie's begging for the drugs, and Theo's saying, no, you can't have them. Next week, Theo's begging for the drugs, and Valerie's saying, no, you can't have them. She's going to Kirby and saying, we're clean, I've got him off the drugs. And then the next minute, she's high as a kite. You know what I mean? It's just like, what's going on? And now, it started off being like, I take these when I feel crap. This is what Valerie was saying. Like, when I feel like I need something, I take these. And now it's gone from, I feel like crap and I need to take these. But you, if you want to be with me, you also have to take them. I don't understand how we got to here.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a leap, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he's sort of just going with it at this stage for fear of keep her in the bay, you know, to stop her going out there on her own.
Yeah.
I think she's been quite clear with him. The love thing isn't happening.
Yeah.
If I was in his boat, I don't know. I think I'd be thinking more, is this worth the effort?
Yeah.
You know, let's just...
This is going to end badly, isn't it? Really? I can't see this ending well, and I don't really get it. I'll be honest. Maybe it's just because I'm not really into the drug thing, but I don't understand the mentality of, I need these, and I'm going to bring you down with me, because I don't know. I don't get it. But it's confusing.
What'll be interesting is if other people start to get involved and finding out, or there starts to be an added a danger element.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's all quite, you know, recreational at the minute, you know.
Yeah.
Take a pill, listen to music, drink champagne, sleep with each other all day, you know, like it was one episode earlier in the week. It's all quite fun and recreational. But if there ends up being, you know, some sort of dealer involved who's owed some money, and then this could turn at the flip of switch, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Into something much more sinister. And we've been here before.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen it before. So I'm on tenterhooks a little bit, as like, this all seems quite jovial. And oh yes, okay, there's a serious mental health backdrop, which isn't to be sniffed at. I'll admit that. But in terms of them two as characters and as relationship, what is there really? Do you know what I mean?
You
know, and he's potentially heading towards something quite dangerous, because we know drugs is associated with lots of other crime and danger.
And it's not going to be long until someone notices. I mean, we've seen a couple of times where one of them's high and the other one's kind of like fending off other people from noticing, like, or get in the bedroom because Leah's home, or get in the bedroom because Justin's home. So one of them's like, you know, with it enough to protect the other one. If they're both off the face, someone else is going to notice soon. It's not just going to be Kirby, surely.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm still to this day shooketh that Kirby, I mean, it's just been like 8 weeks now, Kirby's not set out.
I'm quite pleased that she hasn't, because I don't think it's her place to drop him in it and run off to Justin and be like, Theo's doing drugs. I think my estimation of her would go down if she did that, because I think it would come across as jealous ex, and I'm glad that she hasn't stooped to that and sort of given him that satisfaction, because he's trying to paint her really badly, let's face it, by saying to Leah and Justin, oh, she just doesn't like the fact that I've moved on, and it's not about that, it's about the drugs. So when it all comes out and they realize why Kirby's been funny with him, and it's nothing to do with Valerie being his girlfriend, it's more about the drugs, I think that will pay her well, because, you know, they'll feel bad that he's pulled the wool over their eyes and said, you know, she's doing this and she's doing that, when actually she's been a good friend and she hasn't dobbed him in. But
yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think that is a good thing that she hasn't done that, because it's not her place to say it. And if you're the messenger, we know this from watching soaps, you get shot. Like, if she goes to Justin and says Theo's doing drugs, he's just going to be like, oh, come on, you're just jealous, just making up stories. It's not going to go well for her, I don't think.
No, you're right. I agree. I'm proud of her for not doing it. I'm just surprised she hasn't. I think I just expect less of her.
Yeah.
But
I think if she hadn't dated Theo, I think maybe it would have been less complicated. But I think the fact that she's dated him, and it's, you know, it's his auntie, you know, Justin's dating her, his family, essentially, I just don't think she can go poking her nose in without making herself look worse.
Yeah, I agree. But I think there's going to come a point where her hand might be forced, and it's going to it's going to be awkward, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Rue's learnt. News has got to her that Tane's been taken dead. Oh, I say, payday, dead Sanu. You remember that, you know, because he was at the hospital and he shouldn't have been. He was threatened with the Savio, and then he got caught there, and Rose was like, I told you so, don't make me do this. And she has to tell him to go down there. And he's all like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Well, She warned you. Like, what did you not hear when she said, "Do not come here. I will need to give you an AVO." She could not have been more plain. I was so frustrated.
I've been shouting at the TV all week because he's not listened to anybody and he keeps going, "Oh, I don't understand this." And I'm like, well, if you just bloody listened.
You hate this phrase. This was boiling my piss. Right? I was so angry. And Rosie's telling him, she's like, "I told you what the consequences would be. You're making this hard for yourself." I'm like, preach, Rose. Preach.
Yeah.
Every man and his dog is saying the same thing about this at the minute.
Yeah.
She ends up issuing the AVO. Just as Rue turns up to the police station, this just added fuel to my boiling fire, because Rue's all like, yes, and Rue's like, "Oh, he doesn't deserve this, and you know it." I'm like, is a creepy fella who found a baby in a gym bag and hang around the hospital in a weird attached way. Give the guy an AVO. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
He needs to learn. He needs to learn to listen and back off and stop being... And like I said last week, I'm sorry, he's not doing this for the baby. This is not in Maya's best interest. He's not doing... Mr. Stewart has said to him, you know, you are jeopardising your chances of your residency by being a tool. Mm-hmm. If this was about the baby, he wouldn't even... contemplate doing that, because he thinks the baby would be best with him. So why is he scuppering his only chance to do that? It's nothing to do with the baby. He's just losing the plot.
Yeah, he is. It's about the marriage, isn't it? You and I have been beating this drum for a while now.
Why has nobody noticed? The only person that's actually noticed this week was Rose. Rose said to Dana, "I'm worried about Tane," and Dana was like, "Oh yeah, more like you feel guilty." And I thought, no, this is the first person that's actually said, no, I think Tane's got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else just seems to think he's such a nice guy. He wants to help the baby. No, he's losing the plot. Why is no one?
Yes,
no one noticed?
I know. He's losing the plot so much that he signs his ABO with a pin. Pass me the pin.
I'm dying.
Come on, it's not just me that heard that.
In the end, I did hear pin. It's not. Oh no, I've lost it now.
Pass me the pin.
Are we mocking a whole nation's accent now? This isn't good.
So he gets the pen.
It reminds me of what Marty sent me the other week about that, the video about the dick.
How to shine your dick. Dick.
My dick is over 70 years old. I was crying laughing. I was almost on the floor. Sorry, inside joke there.
So he signs the AVO and storms out, doesn't he? Rue chases him, and he's then, as if I am not seething and frothing at the mouth already at this, and why everyone thinks he's like a really hard done by. Please, I don't want this to be misconstrued. I don't lack empathy for him. I think he's going through something. I've said it before on here, for good or bad, this storyline, I'm for it, because I think it's invoking these reactions from us, and I quite like the conversation. Right? I've been saying that all along. But I'm a bit annoyed about how no one's really trying to get through to him and trying to get through to the root cause. They're all saying, "Oh, he's a good man." That doesn't mean that doesn't mean anything when you're talking about the welfare of a baby.
No, well, when you're talking about admin and protocol, you can't just go to the court, oh, just let him have the baby, he's a nice guy. That's not how it works. Come on.
and actually, he's got a criminal record as long as me am. And he's all like, "What?" And he's all playing the victim to Rue when she chases him. He's all like, am I the bad guy here? Why am I getting treated like a bad guy? And I'm like, oh, give it a fucking break. Get the violin out. Oh, I was fuming, Sophie.
Get him on the pills, Valerie. Get him on the pills. That's the only thing that's going to make him more tolerable, I think, is getting him on some of them happy pills. Chill him out. He's driving me insane.
Yeah. What was your reaction later on in the week when Harper said that they found a family?
I did LOL. Because it's literally what we said last week. It was like, just even if Rue had managed to get the paperwork in time, it doesn't mean that she's guaranteed to get this baby. You get whatever baby or whatever child needs an emergency foster carer, you get that one. You know what I mean? You don't get to go, oh, I don't want this one. I want the baby or whatever. You know what I mean? Oh, just so this did make me LOL because I was like, I'm really glad actually that it's not gone Rue's way or Tane's way, because it would be unrealistic and it would be something else that we'd be moaning about on here. And I think it's actually really good. Finally, they found a foster carer and it's not these two pair of clowns. It's someone that's, you know, already registered, already good at this, has experience, hopefully. And the other laughable thing that I've been laughing about this week is when Tane is trying to get, you know, the details on the emergency foster carer. You know, what are they like? What are their credentials? Who are they? And now everything's suddenly confidential. Even though, like, last week he was allowed to know the baby had a temperature and the baby this and the baby that. This week it's no, it's all confidential, Tane. So they are moving the goalposts on him, which
he wasn't supposed to know any of that, was he? Like,
no.
Dana opened a trap. I mean, how she's got a job.
I know. I mean, the fact that even Rose this week had to say to her, you can't tell Tane anything about the baby. And I was like, you shouldn't have to tell a nurse not to give out patient information. That should be common sense. It's ridiculous. I'm really glad that how do you feel? But I'm actually really glad that it's ended up the way it's ended up. But I don't think it's over.
I don't trust this.
No.
And I think Tane is at risk. He's not thinking straight. He's in a bad place. He's at the risk of doing something silly here.
Yes.
I mean, there's a reason this ABO has been made a big deal of. He's going to break it.
Yeah, so. I don't think it's the end of it. I don't think it's just she's going to go off to the emergency foster carer and then we never hear about it again. I think something else is going to happen. But I'm glad it didn't end up just being like, oh, she's going to go to ruin. Oh, she's going to be in Sorbet House. And oh, Tane's going to pop in twice a day to cuddle her. I'm glad it wasn't that, because I just thought that was just ridiculous.
Golly. Yeah, let's see. Let's see. Rue gets one last goodbye, though. She goes up there. She's not been vetted.
I still don't understand why. I still don't understand why she's allowed. Why is there no ABO against her? It makes no sense, but whatever.
Yeah, she got a goodbye anyway.
And Mr. Stewart, he got to go. Everyone else is up there.
Everyone but poor old Tane. Poor old Tane. Speaking of poor and old John.
Mean. Uncalled for. he's already had a tough week this week. Fine, you're picking on him.
He's hardly one to blow his own trumpet. He's been through it this week, but he's hardly one to blow his own trumpet. But he does have a high distinction in weddings, would you believe?
He does.
And he's right proud of it. And he thinks that's the key to get the gig back, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's eager to show Justin his video project of the wedding of Dana and Xander. That he did last week, the mock wedding that got him his high distinction. Justin does amuse him reluctantly. And he actually thinks he's pretty good at this. You know, he quite likes what he sees. And he basically says, put a pin in this. I'm going to go and
pin or a pen.
To Leah. Don't know if you tell me, pin, pen. I think it was definitely a pin on this occasion.
Okay.
Yeah. sick of the heat. And he sort of gives John a bit of hope at this point, because John's thinking, oh, he's off to tell Leah that we want to hire him, and he's getting all excited and carried away with himself. But of course, Justin gets home and finds out that he carries no weight whatsoever when it comes to the wedding. Control freak Leah wants it all her way, and she's like, we've been over this. And they get into a bit of a row about the wedding, and yeah, John later drops by thinking that, you know, it's a done deal. Mid-argument about all this and the wedding, Justin ends up having a right old pop at him, and he looks like a right little lost puppy, doesn't he, John? Feels so sorry for him. Justin's like, he went in on him, didn't he? He did go in. He'd go in on him.
Yeah.
And you can't help but not feel sorry for John.
I know.
At the best of times.
This broke me, actually. I was just like, no. I literally screamed. I was like, no, you can't do this. Look at his face.
You literally looked like you took an ice cream off a child, didn't he?
It was horrible. I literally screamed at him, we don't want you. I was like, no. Like, even if you felt like that, you can't scream that in John's face. You just can't do it.
He doesn't deserve that. He's trying to do something for his friends. Like, he's not come at it from an interfering, malicious angle. Like, he wants to gift this to you. Just let him. Just let him say a few words. I do. Kiss, let's get on with it. Like, what is that? And I think there's something quite charming about having one of your longest friends perform your ceremony. Is that just me? Like,
no, I think it's nice. Someone that knows you can make the, you know, the speeches more personal and make it a bit more of a, because I think I get the impression from Leah, I mean, she's trying to downplay the whole thing. Like, Justin wants a big fat Greek wedding, and she just wants this small little shindig, doesn't she, where she's going to make the arancini balls and her own wedding cake. So
well, that feeds into my theory that she's not into this.
No,
she don't want it.
No.
I'm waiting, just sitting watching this, waiting for her to say, I don't actually want any of this. The arguing, I'm going to do my own cake, I'm going to make my own arancini balls, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do, oh, I've got a dress. You know, like, are you into this, girl, or what? Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly. She just wants it over with, and like small, and I thought, well, that's perfect if John does it, because it's, you know, it's an intimate, personal kind of gathering, not very high key, a bit, you know. But she doesn't want it, and he doesn't want it. And I was like, oh god. And also, not really funny, they've got how many weeks? 2 weeks? They've got 2 weeks to go. Just take him up on his offer, because who else are you going to find at short notice?
I know. Well, we then have to sort of endure this day, the next day, of them sort of, oh, it shouldn't be this difficult. And he feels like everything's got to be her way. And he sort of has a pop at her as well, doesn't he? And he's like, you know, I want to have a big wedding, but you want me to have the wedding you want, and all this stuff. And then they end up cooling off and having a reset, as they call it. And he suggests a beach wedding, and she thinks that's tacky. And I'm like, well, fuck you, because I got married on a beach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how so is she it tacky? I don't even understand how is it tacky. I don't even understand what she means by that. Does she mean like if they all turn up with like pool floats on or something, it's tacky? I don't get it.
Armbands.
Like, I was like, how is it tacky? Like, we've had some really lovely weddings, haven't we? We've had some really lovely beach weddings in the past. And we could have had something like Salt by the Sea. We could have had something like that.
Yeah, which was so tacky. Elegant. Especially if Dan is involved. He's an elegant, you know,
an elegant
event
gentleman.
Planner extraordinaire. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got me back up then. I was like, don't get married.
Yeah, I forgot about the old personal swipe there that she took at you.
Bitch. and then even the whole, you know, she wants her own vibe. She doesn't want the lyric vibe. I'm like, well, I could probably with you on that, to be fair. But he's already booked the band. So, like,
yeah,
we're getting someone like you with your leg on it.
No.
Oh
dear.
It takes Leah speaking to Maz and Irene to realise that she's been an absolute bridezilla.
Oh, this was funny though, because they didn't actually want to tell her. They were just like, no.
What can I? Just gonna go and check the stock levels.
Just gonna go and check the supplies and call a few suppliers and check the rotor dial. Back in a go. Am I a bridezilla? Well, they know better than that, don't they? Than to answer questions about whether she's being stressy or
yeah. To be fair, they handled it well and made her say sea sense.
Did so make
she agrees. She agrees to step back, and actually, she relinquishes all control, which even wound me up because it wasn't like a, I want you to have your day, Dal. You know, I'm really not fussed about these things. If you want them, I'm happy. I want you to be happy. It was more of like a,
She basically went, you do it then.
Yeah. If that's how it's going to be, I don't want anything to do with it. Washing my hands of it type attitude, wasn't it?
Yeah, because then when she doesn't like it, she can be like, oh, well, Justin planned it. It's nothing to do with me. It's really irritating, actually, because I was like, we didn't need to have it either you or me. We could have had a compromise here. It is a wedding. It is a marriage. And what is, you know, everything about that should be a compromise. But not just that, but she could have took this as an opportunity to find out what Justin actually does like. And then say, oh, okay, well, if you like that, then how about we do it like this and then incorporate this? And then that would be like a joint thing so that, you know, I don't know. I just thought it would be a nice opportunity for them to work together to get to know each other better. I mean, I know they live together and they've known each other for donkey's years, but he's never planned a wedding and he's never said what he wants for his wedding. And now she's just like, well, just do what you want. She doesn't even want to know what he wants. She just said, just get on with it then. Just do what you do like. It.
And don't tell me anything. I thought, that's not someone I'd want to marry.
It's not very nice, is it? It's not.
No.
Yeah, well, you just do what you like and I'll just turn up. Okay. That's nice.
So we're in a don't tell the bride very situation. Loving.
Well, we are, but I think it's more, you know, don't tell the bride. The bride's actually interested and like, you know, they interview them and they go, oh, I hope he's done this and I hope he's done that. And I'm really excited to see what he's put together. And, I can't wait to see the dress and that kind of thing. But she's literally just like, yeah, just tell me when and where and I'll just turn up. It's not very nice. I'm sorry. No,
everything is screaming. She don't want to do it to me.
No, exactly. It's like a hostage bride. It's like a forced wedding. Oh God, it's a little bit. I think she was more excited about the one that she almost married that kidnapped her. You know, they put her in the dress.
Because she had the bust lip and the.
Yeah, she was all beat up. She looked more excited about that than marrying the love of her life, Justin.
Oh God, yeah, it's and she. She's not feeling it, and I'm not feeling it. And I think Justin should get in the car and keep going till the gas runs out.
I think this was a mistake because, from what I've seen on social media, no one's enjoying the bridezilla. I think I said to you last week, didn't I, on first look, when you read something out about this to and fro, and I said to you, if this is a wedding on and off again thing, I haven't got the energy for this.
Yeah,
and from what I can see online, nobody else does either. And I think this was a mistake because we talked about the Marmite factor of Leah before and how some people just really don't like her. I think they probably could have done a better job of this in terms of making her more likable, but they've actually just made her really even more unlikable for the people that didn't like her anyway, because then I just go, typical Leah, you know, she couldn't get what she wanted, so now she's gone off in a huff and said, well, you do it, basically, and she's a bridezilla and... It could have been turned around, this situation, and they could have worked together and done something really nice, but it's not turned out that way, unfortunately.
So I guess, though, it's true to character.
It's typical Leah, but that's all I'm seeing on every comment. It's like typical bloody Leah, and I'm like, and it's not fun to watch.
No, and as viewers, this is the thing, we go mad when they're written out a character. And we go mad when it is character because we don't like it. So they can't wake up.
Well, I think that with the Tar Nathan, we liked his personality, and the fact that he's now acting like a flaming galah is what we're all shouting about. But everyone shouts about how she's a flaming galah all the time. And if they'd written her a bit more empathetic, maybe there would have been a few more people liking her. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
There we go. You've heard it here first.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the wedding's happening, don't we? Because you'd have to be like on a different planet. So she obviously goes through with it. But I've got bad feels from the beginning, from the off, about all this.
Yeah.
Real bad feels.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he actually does manage to pull off on the day. And I am really worried that Theo and Valerie are going to ruin it by being off the face. But
with glow sticks. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't get that. Can't get that image out of my mind.
Yeah, it's going to be, isn't it? It's going to be like whoop whoop, and it's going to be harp music, and they're going to be like, "This is harp music. You need to bring it down a notch." God. Yeah.
Right. Cash and Eden, they're trying to actually spend time with each other this week. And you're thinking, wow, we're going to gone for a day out at the beach. Smoochy, smoochy. However, social media alerts for Stevie turn out to be a bit of a cock block. Because he's got some alert. And every time a movie star is tagged in a post, his phone's going to go off. So you can imagine. His phone's going off, right? You know, everybody seems to know Stevie Marlowe when they see her, you know. My God, it's Stevie Marlowe. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of Instagram posts getting tagged and whatnot from all the stands. And this particular one seems to happen, and it's a picture of the hotel that Stevie is stashed in. And yeah, I'm just watching this going, oh my God, Sophie's right. Sophie's right. She's doing this to us.
Well, it was very convenient timing, wasn't it? Because have you noticed how all this stuff seems to happen when she's not in the room with Cash? So the Teddy Cam thing, he was on shift when that happened, but she was in the bath and he was in the living room or whatever. And she comes out and she goes, oh, look what's happened. Look what's just gone social media. And I was like, this has happened when he's off shift and this, you know, he's nowhere near her and doesn't know that if she's left the hotel and took this picture or whatever. So I am really suspicious again. But then maybe I'm thinking maybe this is being cleverly written to make people like me think that they know what's going on. And actually, there's going to be a twist.
You think it's a red herring?
Yeah. I hope so, because I do. I do genuinely want her to have a stalker, because I think that'd be interesting. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite a good twist if she's doing it to herself for attention. I do.
I've seen it so many times. That's why I'm convinced that is it, because I'm like, I've seen this in too many films where it's the victim actually is the perpetrator and they're doing it to themselves and.
Yeah,
I'd actually quite like to see a nutcase stalker come out from somewhere and be like, kidnap her and try and like replicate the movie with her or something. That'd be hilarious.
Right at 23:46.
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting for that.
I'm sort of, because you've sort of messed my mind up a bit with it.
Sorry.
I'm ending up like you, where I'm flip-flopping. So I'm watching this bit where he gets the picture of the hotel. I'm thinking, well, she's just gone outside the hotel and took a picture and done it herself. Like, blah, 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 blah. And then he's obviously then moving her in because, like, can't go out. There's nothing else within any, you know, miles radius between there and the city. There is nowhere else she could have gone. No, that they could find quickly anyway. They do find someone later on, but she declines the invite. So in Eden, I think Eden had a bit of a ground to stand on here. She's not happy about it, and I don't blame her. And, you know, I'm thinking, Eden, tell him to shove her into the travel dodge. Bloody hell.
The amount of money that she must have. You know what I mean?
Know. Like,
she could stay anywhere. And is she any safer in Cash's house than she's in a hotel?
She's got a crazed stalker after her, and they're leading him right to their house now. And,
but,
you know, who lives there now? Can't bloody remember.
Just
Cash,
Flick. And,
yeah.
And occasionally so Eden. Yeah.
It's putting all them in danger, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
And let's not forget, this house is the same house that got bugged by the bikie gang. So we know the doors are left open willy-nilly all day long. people coming in and out, putting the, how many of those bugs were in that house? They must have found 10.
High tech bikie gang. I forgot about that.
Do you remember they would like turn over the lamps and stuff? Him and Gary yeah. would like turn over the fruit bowl. Oh, here's one. Turn yeah. over the toilet roll yeah. holder. Here's one.
That was good because he was like, nobody talk.
It's just, oh dear. Yeah. I mean, this, I'm having to Jenny this bit, the bit that where she's turned up at his house. And cause I'm like, this would not happen. The agency wouldn't allow it that he works no. For a start.
No. Yeah, this is my job. No, it's not. It's your house.
Yeah. Yeah. And why is she safe with him and not with Omar or the one that shit himself?
I know. Eden did say that. Let one of the yeah, others no. deal with it.
Why has he not gone to Shitty Pants Paul's house?
Nappy Nathan.
Exactly. Why Cash? This is what I'm starting to wonder, like, why Cash specifically? Why is he being played?
Well, this then makes you flip back to her. It's her insisting, because she's on the phone to him. It's him that she's ringing. It's him that she's asking for. Yeah. And then she does this big parade, doesn't she, where she tries to leave because they're arguing, but doesn't really take much convincing to stay back.
Mm.
Oh, I tell you what, though, after a good chat with Remy, Eden calms down and she hashes it out with her. And I did quite like it. You know that scene where she's in the garden by the pool having a bit of sun or whatever?
Yeah.
She goes out and talks and she says, you know what, I like you. You're a straight talker. I thought we found some level playing field here. Like, she's Eden's asserted herself. Because to Remy, she's a bit like, I feel like I'm a third wheel in my own relationship. And she's saying all that to a friend, but in front of Stevie, she goes and asserts herself as a strong person who's not going to take no shit. And I thought that was good. I thought that was really good, actually. I quite enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
It's
been nice to get other people, because obviously we've had Cash and Stevie scenes, haven't we? But it's been nice to get other people in scene. Like, I've really enjoyed the flick meeting Stevie was hilarious.
Yeah.
So funny. Like, and I just thought, I bet Flick's just, you know, Jackie that plays with it. I bet she just thought of all the people that have met her and thought, how did they act to me? Because I thought, she's just replicating something that happened to her. I just feel it. You know, when she grabbed her face and was like, so pretty. And I was just like, I can imagine what happened to her in real life. And then the fact that Remy's reaction was even funnier. Just like, yeah, you're right. Whatever. I was like, this is just hilarious. So, yeah, I've enjoyed seeing Stevie, you know, meet other people this week, not just have to meet Cash. It's been quite interesting to see those dynamics.
Yeah. Well, it looks like that's going to continue. Did you see the...
I did. I'm quite looking forward to next week. I was like, oh, yeah. When's the acting getting blurred there? You know, doing the scene to...
Oh, really?
No, I mean, like, she was getting him to run lines with her, wasn't she? And then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, I'm just going to kiss you. And I was like, that's not acting. That's not acting. That's real. Well, they real as in having away real, not real as in IRL.
God. My poor mind.
Are you on the right page with me? You know what I mean? Like, she's like, play this character, and he's like, okay, like, what do I do? And then all of a sudden she breaks character and she kisses him, and I'm like, well, this is this is acting, but it's not acting on the in the show acting.
Yeah, I get you. I think.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
I am. Let's see. And it's just adding something else into your favourite storyline right now. It just throws another angle into it, doesn't it? Because you and I have been going down this angle of, is it Cash he's got the hots for? It's a woman who, you know, gets what she wants. But now that might throw our theory into disarray a bit next week if that develops, because that would, it's maybe it's not Cash then that's the
Well, Cash isn't available, is he? Let's face it, Remy is. So
no, but she's giving it a go, I reckon.
Yeah.
Subtly. But is she going to be a subtle with Remy? Is it, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm interested to see what happens there.
Mm.
Also, with absolutely no mention of this beef with this other actress. So just keep that in the back of your mind, because, you know, I think we've got a long way to go. It's got legs in it, this storyline, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep that in the back of your mind. Max got a good pair of legs as well, and she isn't going in to help with the fundraiser event auction thing because she's having a dirty weekend in with you know who. Levi's back in town and he's straight to the farmhouse, isn't he? And Marley's tutting and rolling his eyes and turning away and what have you. And they're having sex and they're drinking fizz and, you know, and there's a knock at the door and it's like, oh, bugger. and it's Flick and she's wondering why on earth she's not at the fundraiser. She owns a bloody restaurant. Everything needs to go by her. You're blooming awful to Xander. Yeah, we agree. Thanks for remembering, actually. Thank you for remembering. She was rude AF to him about his ideas.
Again.
Yeah, and he's all, the only reason why it's happening is because you're so distracted. You don't care. It's ridiculous. And she's just stood there in like a sexy nightgown, like, I don't want to come. I'm just like,
in having a quiet number. Night in.
Yeah. Just me and the Sex and the City girls.
Like, is that not what you do on a Friday night? Get into your silkiest, you know, garment and lie around.
A minute now.
Oh, really? Is this why we don't do video?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta be comfortable on this. It's 4 hours long. she ends up all the while this is happening, Levi's stashed in the bedroom, isn't he? His favourite room in the house, I will say. And she ends up agreeing to go just to get rid of her, basically. And so she takes him with her and there's this whole, you know, you going first because we're having this. Honestly, this storyline is so good in respect of, like, it's I'm invested. Like, I'm holding my breath. I've said this a few times. I'm nervous that this is going on. Like, we're actually seeing them sneak around town and Marley's there and he knows and who's going to see them. And I'm like, oh my God, Eden's going to blow this open any minute. This is so obvious, but that's because I know and nobody else knows. And my mind's going mad when I'm watching it. And I'm like, oh, Brie ends up turning up because apparently the DJ's dropped out.
Yeah.
So Remy and Eden.
Eden.
they've had to step in and do a number or what have you last minute. So she thinks he looks like he's doing fine. So she's going to show him that she's doing fine too. Mm-mm-mm. So Dr. Levi's there pretending he's not married and not in an affair and not got whatever else he's got hanging off his arms. So Bree starts throwing herself at him. Didn't expect that.
Oh no, car crash. And I absolutely love this from the point of view of watching Mac squirm. And just, yeah, I love this.
I'm so uncomfortable, but I can't look, you know, a car crash, can't look away.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I was just like watching her and all the little things she was saying, like, oh, she's really sad with the way that she's throwing herself at him. And I was like, if you looked at Twitter, lady, everyone's been saying that about you. Literally, everybody for the last, like, sort of 5 weeks has been saying, how pathetic is Mac throwing herself at a married man? What's he got, really? You know, it's pathetic. And then she's there going, oh, isn't this really sad how she's throwing herself at Levi? And I was like, oh, this is like looking into a little mirror. It's hilarious. I love this.
It was fun. To be honest, though, it's hilarious. But, like, I was just like, I think I texted you and I was like, I feel sick. I feel sick. Like, I think at one point I just closed my eyes so the room would stop spinning and I was just listening to the episode. I was like, I don't think I can physically watch. I'm getting too into it, aren't I? I can actually watch this woman sort of watch him across the room with her all over. I just can't do it.
I loved it. I was on the front row with my eyes like pinned to the telly and you're at the back hiding behind a cushion. I loved it. I like these awkward scenes though. I like seeing the awkwardness of it and going like, look at her.
Yeah. I'd watch this any day than some of the other storylines you can get. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's stuff that invokes something from us all and we all argue about it and that's great.
Yeah.
I tell you what though, $800 for a tour on the Blaxland.
Black Sand Klaxon, by the way, because we had a conversation, you and I, recently about who owns the Black Sand now, whether it's still ours. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's still his, but we don't hear about it. And then this week, I feel like people listen to us talking on it. Black Sand Klaxon. I wasn't expecting that this week.
Absolute out of nowhere, that, wasn't it? Hit me like a train.
It was nice to hear. I was like, oh, the Black Sand's still going. Yay! But $800 for a trip on that. Was that Levi that put that bid in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did he win it? Did he?
He donated it, I think. He donated some, like, $800.
He donated the $800, didn't he, for one of those. So I don't know who's going to go on it. Imagine if he takes it and
donated the, we've got another mystery donation. Who donated the $2,000?
Oh, was that not Stevie?
Well, I thought it was Stevie because, like, we had that conversation where Flick, you know, said, oh, we're having this fundraiser event for this baby, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, that's really sad. And then the not long after we had the, oh, there's been $2,000 donated. And I thought, oh, that's got to be Stevie because that's quite a lot of money, isn't it? To just out of the blue. But then is it? Was that confirmed or not? Because I didn't see it.
So I think it's not been confirmed, but I think it more or less is to us, because there's this whole, Rose thinks that another anonymous donation is a link to the mother of baby Ginbag.
And Flick seems to know who the donor was. It's like, I know
well,
something.
Well, she does,
because
she was at the house, isn't she? Was at the house, wasn't she, when she said, I'm going to donate, and she said, I never do it in my own name.
Oh, okay.
She was at the house when she said, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, okay.
And she said, don't do it in your name and all that business. She was there. Yeah. So Flick does know that it's Stevie. So she's now going to have to tell Rose that it's, you know, it's a dead end, that link, you know, that lead.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I, because I'd put two and two together, but I wasn't sure if I'd got four or five.
yeah, it's you know, it's when you're tweeting along, it's hard. You know what I mean?
I definitely miss stuff when I do the tweet along. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. JK was saying yesterday he doesn't make any notes for Neighbours, doesn't do anything. He watches it and then tries to remember and write it down. I said, you're having a laugh. I'm like, yeah, I can't do that.
That's a lot to remember, isn't
it? I have to watch it three times. So one for notes, one for tweets, one for this.
Yeah, I do watch every episode twice. And yeah, even then I miss stuff because I'm doing the tweets along the first time. And then the second time I watch it at 6 o'clock and I try not to look at my phone because I try and watch it the second time around. Yeah, it's a lot. But then does Home and Away, now that you've been sort of inaugurated into Neighbours world, does Home and Away flow faster as there's more going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because we have quite a lot going on in 5 episodes in a week. We've especially with the block storytelling and jumping all over the place.
Yeah. By Friday, it's really difficult to remember what's gone on Tuesday because you've not seen it, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It's definitely faster. Faster paced, or at least my, you know, it's anecdotal what I'm comparing it to. I only watched 4 episodes, I think, but it's hard. I watch it at least twice. Sometimes I'll do it a third if I'm really enjoying it, and I've like not got anything else on. But it's a lot of time, isn't it, just to watch the damn thing, let alone do this. Right. Anyway, let's stop complaining about doing a podcast. Right, there's this chat then, isn't there? Remy gets Eden thinking because, you know, Remy's a bit down and out about this whole Bree throwing herself all over the place, and he's getting, you know, typical Bree and Remy, they're not even together anymore and the communication's still a problem, like, which was half, which, well, was 100% of the relationship problems, not bloody talking to each other. So... And he's in a bit of a mood about it, and he ends up sort of lashing out, doesn't he? And he's chatting with Eden, and Eden's got all this, like, you know, because it's Levi, a brother, that's involved. And he basically says, you know, ask yourself, why is Ian the bay so much? And Eden's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, Eden. It's as if someone spelt it out for you in the stars. And then took you up there and said, look at this. Because you couldn't see it yourself. Like,
I know.
All these pennies were dropping behind her eyes, and you're thinking, come on, come on, Eden.
But the wrong person. The wrong person. Because let's be honest, have we seen, apart from this fundraiser where she threw herself at him, have we seen Levi and Bree together? No, we haven't. Who is he always hanging around with? Who is he always running into?
I know, she's still not connecting the dots, is she?
Oh, God. Driving me mad, this.
But honestly, I honestly was just like, oh, my God, she's going to go and confront him. And she does. She's like, answer this question.
Yeah,
and he absolutely fills his kicks, doesn't he? Honestly, you could see his heart went through his ass.
I know, but he squirmed his way out of it by saying, "I'm not sleeping with," because she says, "You having an affair," and that's a yes no Bree. Question. Mm. But then he goes, "I'm not sleeping with Bree." Not answering the question, then didn't say he wasn't having an affair, just said he wasn't. Not,
and he also didn't lie,
no, annoyingly.
I love
again.
This, it's stressing me out, but I do love it. Eden's got an idea. She's like, do you know what? Rather than keep running away from your wife, because she obviously thinks it's all about this whole kids thing, she thinks, I know, I'll invite her up. Well, I said to you tonight, I had to get a bucket, because now I actually felt physically ill. Like, I'm going to get a sick note.
I was excited. I've been saying for weeks this is what I wanted. I wanted a showdown. I wanted her to walk into Salt and then Mac have to serve her and bring her drinks over and you know, take her food order and stuff. I've been waiting for this for weeks. This is what I wanted. And it didn't play out the way that I thought it would.
I think next week it might.
It might do. Because I think the last time we saw them, Mac has spotted, because Mac stayed away when he said, oh, we're coming. He texted her, didn't he, from the bathroom and said, oh, we're coming to Seoul. And Mac kind of scurried away, didn't she? So she didn't actually see them. And he was just distracted all night and sat there in Seoul with his, you know, his wife and his sister. But Mac wasn't there. But then the next day, obviously, Eden and Imogen are looking for somewhere to have coffee. And Mac takes on herself to go over, introduce herself to his wife, and then say, oh, come in for a coffee and I'll shout you it. And I thought, oh, she's playing with fire now.
She is. She's, do you know what it is? It's almost like she's goading herself, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like she wants to see what the competition is, but you know, it's going to end in absolute tears.
It's
honestly
awful.
I can't cope, Sophie. I can't cope.
It's awful, but I'm also finding it really delicious. It's like, it's delicious to watch it, because I'm just like, oh my God, like, I can't believe she's done this. But I'm enjoying it, because it's like, it is what I wanted. I wanted this kind of showdown. But at the same time, I'm kind of screaming at her, and I'm like, this is all going to come out soon. Like, he's already said to Mac, I will leave Imogen for you. And she went, oh, no, don't do that. But that's on the table. You know, that card has been played now. We know that that's been played. And we know that he's not that happy with Imogen. And, you know, we've seen them crawl into bed together and he didn't want to touch her. And, you know, he's acting like, when he's with Imogen, he's acting like he's cheating on Mac, isn't he? Which is ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. And she knows something's up.
Yeah. She knows. It's only a matter
of
time. Does
Imogen.
So why is Mac playing with fire? Because I was thinking, right, let's fast forward and say this all comes out. Eden finds out. Eden realises she's been helping them cover up this affair by lying for him, even though she didn't know why she was lying for him, etc. But then how is Eden going to feel about Mac when she goes, you came up to us, introduced yourself and brought us a coffee? Like, I think the showdown between Eden and Mac is going to be delicious. I can't wait for it.
Do you think it's going to happen next week?
I don't know whether it'll be that quick, because she's a bit thick and she's taken ages to work this out.
Because I'm like, the longer Imogen's in town, like the more we're all going to fall in love with her. Like she's this sweet girl. She's got this quite innocent way of carrying herself, hasn't she? And she's all like, "Are you okay? You know, why are you not coming to bed, darling? You know, what's wrong?" Mm. We are going to fall head over heels for this girl.
And she's such a nice girl. Herself. I mean, he's making her feel like she's a crap wife, and he's just letting her feel like that. Like he's such a rat. it's awful, but it's also great. It's, you know, this is why we watch the soap, because it's drama like this that we love. Yeah. But it's so
And who's gonna come after villain? Mackenzie.
Well, yeah, they are. Everyone's gonna turn on her because, you know, that's the way that these things play out, unfortunately. He's probably gonna get away with a lot of the mudslinging. Even though he's the one at fault, really. Well, more at fault. Right, Si, I've been digging through social meds. I've been reading comments and looking at reactions from people that have watched Home and Away in the UK this week. Are you ready for me to read out some of what people are saying?
Always.
Always. Cool. So this is your say on the bay, not our say. We'll try and make it their say. We'll end up having a chat about what we think as well. Before we get on with that, though, quick reminder, we're also on social media, so come and check us out. So Coastal News Podcast, at Coastal News Pod. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Twitter, etc. We tweet along with the show while we watch it at 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday on 5 Star here in the UK. So there's been lots of people getting involved this week on the hashtag, on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, talking about things that are happening on the show. So I'm going to read out some of those comments now. So first of all, I tell you what, everyone sort of got behind JP this week on Twitter. And there was a kind of justice for JP hashtag going on. Lifeguard, etc. Because nobody was happy with Justin this week and Justin lashing out at poor JP. So Mr. David said, JP does not deserve this. Jamie said exactly the same. JP doesn't deserve this. Justin is a knobhead. And then Just Jen said, poor JP, I just want to give him a hug. It's like kicking a puppy. It was like kicking a puppy. It was like, it was just horrible to witness. Jamie also said a couple of good points, actually, that Jamie made. So he said the pressure of organising a wedding within a month and you turn down someone wanting to be your celebrant, it's a bit crazy. And then he said later on in the week, Jamie said Justin's only asked JP to be the celebrant because he couldn't be asked to find someone else to do it at the short notice. I thought
that's an interesting point. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, he's just because he's got to do it all now. He's just run straight to John and said, "Yep, you're in."
Yeah, because he doesn't want to think about it, does he? So I think that you've got a good point there, Jamie. That, you know, they should have snatched his hand off to start with, but now that Justin's got to do the whole bloody thing himself, he's just gone, "Oh yeah, just let him do it."
I don't know how that passed me by. He's absolutely spot on there, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mr. David is quite clear on his feelings for Justin. He's put, "Justin is dead to me." So a lot of people are feeling it just shows you how much JP is loved, and that character is such a comic value in the show as well, which is something that we really like. You know, those dark scenes that we get, and then we get a bit of JP humor in between them. It's so important, and everyone absolutely adores him, so it's really nice to see everyone rally around.
I'll say it again, back in the early JP days, couldn't see the fella.
Yeah,
you know, from how he's ended up, is great, and his role in the Bay is such an important one. Like, he's not on all the season end cliffhangers, and he's not in the middle of all the main drama. But we need somebody's got to be that role for us.
Yeah,
and he's sublime at it. I make no secret, I prefer him to Alf.
I know that you can compare him and Alf, apart from the fact that they are slightly older gentlemen compared to the rest of the cast. I think their characters are so different that I don't compare them to, but I kind of see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so good with all the cast. Alf can't. I've said it before, so I won't bore you. but Alf can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want Alf to do it. For me, Alf is like, he is that older chap and he is that grumpy old man. And I don't want him to be the fluffy, nice, funny character. The way that Mr. Stewart makes me laugh is when he goes off on one and he calls someone a flaming galah or whatever. I don't want him to be the comedy, the comic value. I don't really want that because JP is really good at that. And I think Alf is really good at what he does. I think the comedy they bring is very different.
Yeah.
I tell you what people were not laughing at though was Leah and Bridezilla Leah and then going off on one. Lots of, as I said earlier in the pod, lots of people already not liking Leah anyway, and then they're really piling on at them. There's lots of Leah dislike, Leah hate going on at the moment. But David said, Justin's got a cheek calling Leah intense. The amount of badgering he did to her when she came back from the clinic. In your shoes, Leah, I'd be reaching for that knife again. So David's on Leah's side.
Holding no pads this week.
I know. Yeah.
Davey's on Leah's side. Oof. Someone's got to be.
Facebook's really not. I won't even read your Facebook because it was so negative about Leah. I was like, "Ooh, this might be a little bit too close to Ada rather than Leah."
It's Leah. Whatever Leah is up to.
Yeah.
Wait, was the line blurred there with recent Ada news?
Well, it was more like people commenting on things that are about the actress, and I was like, no, this is not cool. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever storyline Leah ends up involved with, there's always two reactions from the fans.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But then everyone's questioning Leah's sort of, why is she finding it so difficult to plan this wedding? Why is she being a bridezilla? And as David went on to point out late in the week, Leah has had 67 weddings, and going down the aisle for her is like going to the supermarket for the rest of us. She should be a dab hand. That's what Victoria says. Frankenwagen. Victoria said, do you think Leah would be a dab hand at wedding planning by now?
She has had a few.
Joe Lawrence had enough as well. Joe Lawrence says, I'm so over the bridezilla. Can they not get married or do it abroad so we don't have to be involved? Do it off screen. We don't want to see you. Just go and do it and come back with the rings on. So, yeah. And then Just Jen says, oh, for fuck's sake, can't you just plan it together? It has to be total control or don't tell the bride situation. No wonder half of marriages fail. Yeah. Good point.
Actually, very good point, yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't find, apart from David being on Leah's side, I couldn't find many, comments that were in favour of Leah and the bridezilla situation. But, we're fickle at home and away fans, aren't we, really? We're fickle. There's been a lot of criticism aimed at other characters recently, but then there's been some praise for those characters this week. So people have been really enjoying Flick's portrayal of the storylines that she's involved with this week, particularly her meeting Stevie and that overreaction that she had, which is like, oh my god, you're so pretty. And also when she sort of rocked up at the farmhouse and was like, oh no, Mac, come on, come to the fundraiser, and like completely cop blocked her and Levi. Everybody was loving this. So Jamie said Flick's reaction to Stevie was priceless, and it's a shame that Eden's still a whining misery. Well, she is still really. Mr. David said, more of this Flick, please. And then Jen says, this Flick is the best Flick, and this whole entire scene, she's been great. I love her. So there's been lots of praise for her.
It is so nice for her to be having this sort of stuff now,
given
how dark recent past has been for her.
It's nice to see her away from Tane.
I think we needed it as much as she did as well.
And I think the fact that Tane's tried to sort of say to her, like, he's done it in a really horrible way by saying, you nothing, you don't have to help me, I don't need your help, go away, essentially. And it's forced Flick into these other situations where she's not just talking about Tane or moping about Tane. She's having to integrate into other scenes and other storylines. And I think this is good because now we are getting the Flick that we used to know back, aren't we? So
yeah.
It's nice that people are recognising it and saying it as well. So it's worth saying it when you're
absolutely
when you're enjoying something. Because we don't dwell too much on the negative on here, but we do tend to be, like I say, we're a bit fickle. You know, some weeks we love you and some weeks we don't love you. And it is about the storyline that the character gets and how they act. You know,
it's 100%.
Make or break. So
yeah, it is. It can flip it. Absolutely.
And talking about flipping it. Right. So if we move on to Levi and Mac, you can imagine what people are saying about these two. But Jamie's actually saying, Levi and Mac scenes are such a turn off. I automatically pick up my phone when they're on the screen. And Levi laughing because Eden said the wrong name. What a twat. So, yeah, because the wrong name in terms of the affair, I think that was referring to. I mean, because she said, are you having an affair with Bree?
Mm.
Yeah.
But okay. What was yeah, okay. I'm a bit like the first part of his comment, I'm a bit like, is it?
Yeah, a lot of people aren't enjoying seeing Levi and Mac, and they're saying I'm fast forwarding through their scenes because I don't want to see them.
Me.
Yeah. Mm. Not enjoying them. I think again it's what I was just saying earlier. It's make or break in terms of storylines. If Mac was given a storyline that we absolutely loved, we'd be all over it. But because people aren't loving her having this affair of being, as a lot of people are calling her, pathetic, chasing after this married man, and you know it's not the strong Mac that we know, they're not enjoying this. They're not enjoying her character change, and that's why they're turned off from this story. Mm. I think.
Mm.
Because you get used to a character being a certain way, and you might even relate to them and think they're a bit like me because they do this or that, the other, or they compose themselves in this way. And then when they act out of character, you're like, oh no, can't watch this.
Yeah, now. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I think that's what's happening with Mac, unfortunately.
Mm. Shame.
It is a shame. But there's lots of praise for Imogen. I mean, even Mr. David says that we hope that we get to keep her because she's lovely. So there's lots of people saying that I think a lot of people are saying, can we trade Levi and Mac for Imogen? Get rid of those two and bring her to the bay because everyone's really enjoying her. So, you know, it is just the storyline, isn't it, that sort of makes or breaks it.
Of course it is. I wonder if Levi is here to stay, how on earth we even attempt redemption. I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, or if we come to it. But how do you bring him back from this when you know the response and the up from the audience?
I don't know how you can bring Mac back from this, because when it all comes out, especially because she's crossed the line this week by going up to Imogen and taking it upon herself to introduce herself and say, come in and have a coffee, she crossed the line at this point. She could have just walked away, and I think by speaking to her, having this coffee with her, and you know, spending that time with her and Eden, when this all comes out, I don't think she's got a leg to stand on.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
I think the whole bay is going to backlash against them when this comes out, and I don't think she's really thought about it, Mac.
God,
I'm actually kind of dreading it, because I think, because when this does come out, I think if the audience aren't enjoying this now, I think they'll enjoy it less when that happens, because Mac's going to be—it's going to be Mac versus Flick and Eden. Because how tight are those two? Let's face it. And then Flick's her business partner, Eden's her friend, and then we've got obviously Cash and everybody else. Oh, it's just I think it's going to be like—I think it's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Talking of fickle, so the start of the week, everyone was was getting on the hashtag and having a go at Eden, having a pop at Eden. Mr. David said, oh my God, will Eden ever get a job? Mr. Stewart is twice her age, is always on the go, and she just wastes her days being a pain. And then at the end of the week, obviously, Remy and Eden had to step in, didn't they, and save this fundraiser because the DJ was ill or whatever. So we've been slagging off Remy and Eden for a while and saying that they don't really do anything, especially when it comes to the band, because when Remy was off sick because he had this accident, we were seeing Theo and Kirby doing all these interviews, these radio interviews and print magazine interviews. And everyone was questioning it. And I read out loads of the comments on Your Sound the Bay recently saying, why doesn't Eden do anything? Eden can play bass. She can sing. She can obviously talk. So why can't she do interviews? Why is it always Kirby and Theo? Why is it always them two? Why are they doing like a duet together to, you know, to sort of keep the band going? And Eden just does nothing apart from spend Cash's money. So then this week, everyone was absolutely shocked and flabbergasted that she got off her ass and did something. So Justin said, oh my God, Eden's going to do some work. Jamie says, bloody hell, Remy and Eden pulling their weight in lyric. but she did get some praise. So Jamie said, Eden's a great vocalist. Can we have more of her? And she's miles, Eden, Remy are miles better than Kirby and Theo. It's not even close. So actually, we want, this is why we're criticising her, because we want to see her do. We loved Song for Cash. We think she's a good vocalist. Why doesn't she get to do more of the band stuff that usually gets done by Theo and Kirby?
Yeah, very, very good point. And we need it. I think we need it. She's too involved in Cash and melodrama elsewhere outside the band. And actually, I will hold my hands up. I actually, going a few months back on this podcast, might have even been last year, praised her for that. Like I was like, oh yeah, she's the one of the few that I've got stuff outside of the band that I can get involved with, and that's why I like her more. I was saying that back then. It's interesting that we're sort of full circle with it now. And sort of saying she needs to do more band stuff. She's doing enough Sweet FA. You know, isn't that interesting?
I don't think people necessarily want her to do band stuff. I think she just needs to do something that's not sitting around on her ass. If she doesn't do band stuff, is it, you know, it's never because she's busy. She hasn't got another job. She's not busy working in soap. She's not busy working in the diner. She's not busy doing something, working in the hospital, where, you know, wherever she could get a job, or the garage or wherever. She's not doing anything. She's just not doing any, she's not doing the band stuff, but she's not doing anything else either. And I think that's what's frustrated people, is that she just seems to coast. And yet she always has money for takeaways. She always has money for coffees. And, you know, she's always busybodying and getting involved with stuff. And everyone's like, why isn't she just, if she's not doing anything, why isn't she doing band stuff? Why are we having to see Kirby and Theo doing it? It's bizarre. Yeah. So, I think people would welcome her getting a normal job, to be honest. Just get off her ass and do something else for a change. I don't think people would mind. But we'll see. I don't think that's going to happen. And then obviously at the end of the week, Eden has gone away to redeem herself a bit, some way to redeeming herself a bit, purely from the fact that she's starting to piece the puzzle together for us. And everyone's desperate for her to finally work out that it's not Bree that her brother's having an affair with. It is actually Mac. People are talking about this as well. So Just Jen says, I'm going to start really liking Eden if this keeps up. Her anger when she does find out will be everything.
It will. I am with her with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Just Jen listened to our pod this week and tweeted us about it and said, when Eden finds out that she inadvertently helped cover it up, she's going to be absolutely bonkers. And I can't wait to find out. And she says, like you, Si, she keeps holding her breath when she's watching these scenes. Yeah. Everyone's just waiting.
Yeah, it's making me ill, though. It's going on and on and on and on and on.
You need to start breathing, or else you're going to get yourself into trouble. And then Mr. David says, if Eden punches Levi where it hurts when she finds out he's a cheater, I will never say anything bad about her and Lyric. And then you put in brackets, or I will try to ever again. So, like I say, the start of the week, it was the usual criticisms of Eden. You know, she doesn't do anything, get off your ass. Then it was, oh, my God, she got off her ass and she's really good at singing and we want to see more of it. And then it's, okay, I'll stop criticising her, get off her ass if she actually manages to piece this puzzle together, because we need it. We need it.
It was like, she's really bad. She's okay. She's not too bad. Okay, we quite like her. All in 5 episodes.
I know. It was like a journey. Going through these tweets, it was like, oh. It was really good. Really enjoyed it. And then to end the week, just to show you that I do show all sides of the arguments, the last few weeks I've been reading about Stevie and Cash and how everyone's enjoying the storyline. And this week, a couple of people have got in touch with us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and have said they're not enjoying the Stevie storyline. So I thought I'd read you out a couple of other alternative comments on this one. So Kiara B says she's a damn nuisance and I wouldn't be surprised if she's just attention seeking. So doesn't believe that she's really got the stalker, but thinks that possibly is doing it to herself and not enjoying the storyline. She's a damn nuisance. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Well, that sort of is your theory, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, it's different because I think that's my theory, but I'm still enjoying the storyline. It's still the best storyline we've got at the moment, I think. But Kiara's not enjoying the storyline at all. So
it's funny, isn't it, how you draw the same conclusion as somebody else but have a different opinion about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fascinating.
And then Sarah2022 says that she actually fast forwards through all of the Stevie stalker and Cash storylines. She finds them really boring. So I said to Sarah, okay, what stories are you enjoying then? And Sarah says anything with Alf, Leah and Justin in. So although everyone else is sort of finding the Leah and Justin thing a bit tiresome, obviously Sarah's enjoying that. So I think it's really interesting to see those sort of different arguments and different things that people enjoy.
Yeah, and the balance, the different things that people in. Yeah, you're right. There's different strokes for different folks, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can't please everybody, but it's nice to see that there are some people that enjoy some of the storylines that possibly are. I think with your Sail on the Bay as well. Since we've been doing, I think we've been doing this for nearly a year and a half now, haven't we? Doing this segment, and it's often the storylines that we don't enjoy so much that get more comments. Because I think we're more quick to vocalise our, you know, lack of enjoyment or our kind of uncomfortableness or our anger sometimes or frustration with some of the storylines. We're quicker to say that. And as I've tried to do on this, you know, segment, a lot of the times read out those. It might not be as many comments, but read out the ones where we're saying something's really, really good. Because there's loads of stuff that's really good, but we're not as quick to sort of praise as we are to criticise. Yeah. So it's interesting to see both sides, though, I think.
Yeah, completely agree. Hold me in your arms, don't let me go, I want to stay.